From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is again denying the allegation of sexual assault from the 1980s that became public last week. The story first emerged last Thursday when California Senator Dianne Feinstein issued a statement saying she had a confidential letter describing allegations from the 1980s against the Supreme Court nominee. At that point, it was unclear how the situation would unfold. Two good bets, though, were that number one, the person who had made those allegations would eventually become known, and number two, the situation could delay Kavanaugh's confirmation vote. So here we are, 4 days later, and the person who described that high school incident has come forward and is now known, and some lawmakers are now calling for a delay in the vote. So let's pick up the story and fill in some of the gaps with the political junkie Ken Rudin. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, Beth.
So let's start with what we know, mainly from an article in the Washington Post published yesterday. I'm going to ask you to tell it as you understand it from what was released over the weekend.
Well, it sounds like this woman, Christine Blasey Ford, the last thing she wanted was to go public with this. I wonder what kind of pressure she had to be under, tremendous pressure. But, you know, in a very highly sensitive, highly partisan nomination like the Kavanaugh nomination has become, Democrats seem to be completely against it, Republicans completely for it. There's a lot of tensions, there's a lot of emotions. And anybody who would come forward in this day of ugly politics and recrimination would be subject to attacks. And that's what's happened to Ms. Ford. She's been attacked by Trump defenders and Kavanaugh defenders as somebody playing politics. The fact is, she told her therapist back in 2012 about this incident when she was in high school, that she was attacked by Kavanaugh and another friend of his, and when they were teenagers. And yes, they were teenagers and they weren't children, but, you know, little kids. But it and it wasn't when they were in the workplace, like a lot of people are comparing this to Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. But the fact is that, you know, I mean, when you're 18, 19 years old, whatever you are, and you sexually assault a woman, there's no excuse. You're not a child. You know, you're not somebody who doesn't know better. So I suspect that she has taken a polygraph test. People who have observed the test say she had absolutely no reason. She's not lying. She's, by all accounts, telling the truth. And this is explosive. I mean, given the fact that you have a person in the White House who has been accused of sexual assault by at least a dozen women, you have many members of Congress who have resigned from Congress seemingly, who have far less accusations. I mean, what Al Franken was accused of and ultimately led to his resignation after a couple of weeks seemed to be far less damaging than a sexual assault allegation that Ms. Ford is making, but the stakes seem to be much higher.
She is Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. She's a Palo Alto University professor. In those notes that you refer to from the therapist's meeting, it was described as a rape attempt. And this morning, Ms. Ford's attorney was on the Today Show and asked by the host, Savannah Guthrie, does she consider this an attempted rape? And her attorney answered yes. So at the time, and you said teenagers, she believes, about 15, which would make the incident happen if, in fact, it was a Brett Kavanaugh incident when he was 17. The powerful phrases here, Ken, besides rape attempt, are that she's being quoted everywhere in saying this, I thought he might inadvertently kill me. He was trying to attack me and remove my clothing. And she did describe both Judge Kavanaugh and Mark Judge, if they were in fact the ones in the room, as stumbling drunk. So I'm going to...
Now, in fairness, of course, both Mark Judge and Brett Kavanaugh completely and unhesitatingly deny that this ever happened. Now, I mean, this is one of those cases where the only people who would know it are the three people involved. I mean, you could understand why Ms. Ford would be hesitant in coming out. This is a traumatic event.
She didn't intend to. She didn't want
no.
to. She was actually,
no, clearly.
Her name was outed.
Clearly. I mean, all we knew by Thursday was that Senator Dianne Feinstein had a letter that she sent to the FBI And then, I mean, under this pressure, she came forward. Look, nobody wants to have their name dragged through the mud, especially in these highly partisan times. But I was going to say that I think this happens all too frequent, that women, whatever ages they are, they could be 14, they could be 40, they could be 70. It just happens when there's a sexual assault like this. You're scarred by it. You don't want to come forward, and because often, or too often, I should say, that these charges are brought forward and nothing ever happens. So this is not, I don't get the sense that this was politically inspired. Perhaps Dianne Feinstein and the Democrats would have liked to have made it political, or at least use this in some way to either defeat or stall the Kavanaugh nomination. But the woman who was involved in this alleged attack, I suspect, is on the up and up and is not thinking politics.
Let me add a couple pieces. On the Kavanaugh denial, there was a new statement this morning, and his quote released from the White House in a statement was, "This is a completely false allegation. I've never done anything like what the accuser describes to her or to anyone. Because this never happened, I had no idea who was making this accusation until she identified herself yesterday. I am willing to talk to the Senate Judiciary Committee in any way the committee deems appropriate to refute this false allegation from 36 years ago and defend my integrity." The head of the committee has suggested that there should be phone calls, that somehow committee members maybe need to talk to both Ms. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh about these specific circumstances.
Right, but it seems clear that, and it's a little ironic, that Chuck Grassley, the Iowa Republican who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, who was in no hurry to give Merrick Garland a hearing, let alone a vote, in 2016 when President Obama nominated him, seems to be very anxious to get this done quickly. I still see no indication by Grassley or the Judiciary Committee Republicans that even if they're going to have Ms. Ford testify, or they're going to have Judge Kavanaugh testify as well, and I suspect they'll say exactly what we just heard, that she says it happened and he says it didn't happen. I see no indication that there's going to be a delay in the Judiciary Committee vote, which is scheduled for Thursday. Now, at least two Republicans, even three Republicans, Jeff Flake and Bob Corker of Arizona and Tennessee, respectively, who are both retiring this year, and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, have all said that maybe we should hold off, you know, until we get more facts out about this. But maybe perhaps Grassley thinks that either a testimony or phone interviews with the two people involved here would satisfy the committee, although I suspect they may not, but satisfy the committee enough to have a vote by Thursday.
Back to, I mentioned the interview that happened this morning with Dr. Ford's attorney. Her name is Deborah Katz, and I pulled a little section of it. You're going to hear Savannah Guthrie first ask a question to Ms. Katz.
Ms. Katz, is your client willing to testify before the Judiciary Committee publicly and tell this story?
She is. She's willing to do whatever it takes to get her story forth, yes.
Does she think Judge Kavanaugh should withdraw his nomination? Is that what she hopes comes out of this?
She's not taking a position on that. She believes that these allegations obviously bear on his character and his fitness. And the denials, of course, also bear on his character and fitness. She has taken a polygraph. She's a credible person. These are serious allegations, and they should be addressed. Yesterday, the White House would not even have the nominee acknowledge whether he knew her, and he's not being forthcoming.
The only person, it seems, in all of this, if Dr. Ford holds to her story and Brett Kavanaugh holds to his story, the only person that could jump into the scenario and say anything different would be Mark Judge. Mark Judge.
Yes, but Mark Judge has already said unequivocally right. That it did not happen. He said that as well. He said, "I'm just, you know, I just found out about this now when you contacted me and I was there. I shouldn't put words in his mouth." He said this absolutely did not happen. So, I mean,
and Deborah Katz this morning added that Mark Judge has scrubbed the internet of a lot of the writings, a lot of his, because he is a writer and a filmmaker now, a lot of his references to the heavy drinking and the antics and events in high school. So it is a complicated story, but there's one aspect we haven't touched on. And you being the political junkie, I think this is really an important one. And that is the fact that Dianne Feinstein apparently received this letter that was supposed to be kept confidential about these allegations back in July, Ken. Does that bother you?
Well, you know, something a lot of people are puzzled by that. The fact is that she received this in July. Why didn't this come up during the trial? Even if you want to protect Ms. Ford, why didn't you, Dianne Feinstein, bring it up? But I think there was, if memory serves, I think there was a question asked of Kavanaugh about any kind of sexual, you know, attack in his past. And basically his answer was that he's been very good to women. He promotes women when he was a judge. He's his daughter's soccer coach, and he loves women. I mean, you know, basically, he was the ultimate family man. There was no indication. He said absolutely, you know, he basically said no to any kind of allegation that anything was untoward towards women. So it goes back to the he said, she said, and that was the old Clarence Thomas argument in 1991, where Anita Hill came forward after the initial hearings, the judiciary committees that were about Clarence Thomas, and he was on his way to an easy confirmation. Then she came forward and said her piece, and then, but even after all that happened, he was confirmed. One thing I will say about it, that it, a lot of it is about politics, and you could say what you want about Dianne Feinstein and whether she tried to bring this, save this for a political moment. The fact is that this could very well energize Democratic women, and the fact is it could very well get even women who are Democratic women who are already angry at what's going on in with the White House and the president's views towards women and actions towards women will get them even angrier in advance of November 6th. And I suspect that's one of the reasons, at least one of the reasons, why Chuck Grassley and the other Republicans will do everything they can, everything in their power, not to delay this, certainly beyond the election on November 6th.
And to stay with Feinstein's decision for just a moment, one, I guess, statement in support of her waiting is that she wanted to honor the confidentiality. Okay, there's that. Another.
Well, before you say there's that, no, that's a very important point. The
right.
Point is she did not go public with it because Christine Ford said, I do not want to go public with it. And she respected that. So that's one reason it didn't come up.
And
July,
I didn't mean to dismiss it. I was actually just going to give you a list.
No, I know that. I know.
Protecting confidentiality.
I just wanted to talk more about it.
And she felt like she referred it to the FBI. So she felt like she handled it in that way. There are others saying that she just decided to hold it as a strategy, as a political strategy. So for all these years of watching Dianne Feinstein operate, and she is a known quantity, and knowing we are in this Me Too time, and knowing what's at stake here, the nomination of a Supreme Court justice, Ken, what's your gut feeling? What do you think Dianne Feinstein did?
Well, we also, one thing we didn't mention in that litany of Dianne Feinstein is that she is seeking re-election this year. I mean, of course, she's running against a Democrat running to her left, and progressives are already angry in California. I don't think her the way it looks right now is that her re-election is any jeopardy, but the fact is that there is a contest on November 6th. She is being opposed by somebody who feels that Dianne Feinstein has been too palsy-wowsy with the White House, too willing to compromise, not angry enough, and with so many, I mean, look, who knows? I'm not accusing Dianne Feinstein of anything, but you can't dismiss the question of politics in a highly charged political time like we're having right now.
All right. So where to from here? You already said that at this point you think there's no indication that there will be a delay of the vote Thursday. But this is Monday, and that's three long days between now and then. A lot in the story could change.
Well, absolutely. I mean, basically, if more Republicans, I mean, everybody's waiting on Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski to say something. I couldn't help but notice that on social media today that when Kellyanne Conway went on Fox and Friends, and she said that we should not dismiss Ford's accusations. They should be, she should be treated with respect, and that the accusations should be
heard,
investigated thoroughly. Mm-hmm. Whereas Susan Collins says, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. So everybody's praising Kellyanne Conway. Basically, what Conway is doing is exactly what the White House should be doing. Rather than Donald Trump to come out and tweet and say that Ford is an opportunist or playing politics, or she starts to attack her, that would be the worst thing the White House could do. But of course, that hasn't stopped the president from doing the worst thing that he could possibly do in the past. I think what Conway is doing is smart, and the only really logical thing is saying, look, let her have her say, and maybe they'll give her the obligatory day or two or three to come forward and testify and let be cross-examined. And then everybody say, okay, decide what you want. The real question, of course, is, it could even go down in the committee, but whether it goes down in the full Senate is one thing. And once again, we're down to whether Collins or Murkowski or Jeff Flake and Bob Corker and Lindsey Graham will vote no, one because of his views or maybe his lack of candor or these new charges. But nothing is going to change. I've said this before. Nothing is going to change unless you have two Republicans willing to vote no. And right now, while some Republicans have said, let's delay the vote on the committee until we learn more, nobody's actually said, I'm voting no on the nomination.
Lisa Murkowski yesterday said, I don't want to prejudge, but I am someone who takes allegations of sexual assault seriously. That's what we have from her right now.
And Susan Collins said basically that she asked Judge Kavanaugh about this, and he completely denied the accusations. So Susan Collins has that as well.
Just to add the political aspect on the side of Ms. Ford, she is a registered Democrat. Her attorney was asked whether there was a political motive in all of this, and the attorney essentially said, and I'm paraphrasing, she would not have been willing to go through this annihilation, that's the word that was being used, to do this for political reasons. So,
I mean, that's my gut feeling, too. I don't see this as a crass political move. Whether anybody wants to use it politically, this is a political town, a political year, and a political environment. But I'm not one of those people who will jump on the bandwagon to say that Christine Ford is playing politics. I don't believe that for a second.
So, Ken, I don't know if, like me, you find yourself caught sometimes between not wanting to be naive about a situation, but still wanting at times to think the best of someone and give someone the benefit of the doubt. And I guess it's a classic crossroad, but this is raising characters and circumstances where, again, that question comes up.
That is a very good point, Beth. And I also we're in an environment where, I mean, the fact that we've had 9 members of Congress resign their jobs in the past, or not run again in the past year, because of a new awareness, a new understanding of what sexual assault is all about. I mean, in the old days, they were either jokes, I mean, sort of joking about it is just abhorrent to think about, or it was just dismissed or just kept under the rug. And the fact that I think more people are aware of it or more cognizant of it than ever before, it's something that should not be dismissed out of hand. Yes, sure, we'd like to think Brett Kavanaugh is a great guy for women, and he coaches his girls in soccer. But, you know, people have passed that obviously don't want things to come forward. And as we've learned with many members of Congress, that despite what they say about, look, Bill Clinton had probably one of the great feminists in the White House in history. But he also had a history of being accused by sexual unwanted sexual behavior towards women. Now, a lot of feminists defended Bill Clinton at the time because, well, Bill Clinton was the good guy. But, we could reopen that Bill Clinton investigation all we want. But the fact is that these things happened. And I think there's a new, I don't know if appreciation is the right word, but more of an understanding of it now and more of the horrors of it than the dismissals we were willing to give years ago.
You're listening to Ken Rudin, the political junkie. And just to shift gears slightly, Ken, and add one more topic to this conversation, can you address Paul Manafort now cooperating with Robert Mueller and the difference that might make in Mueller's investigation?
I think this is big news. I think the fact that if you remember when after Manafort was found guilty of 8 counts of tax evasion and bank fraud, I guess it was last month, and Donald Trump, and the fact that he didn't go to Mueller, he wasn't looking for a plea deal, he wasn't going to the feds, ratting on his boss. It sounds like we're talking about the untouchables with the kind of language we're hearing now. And you saw President Trump saying nice things about him over and over again, that unlike Michael Cohen or whatever it is, Manafort is a true great American and a good guy. When Trump said that, I had the sense that Manafort was in a position to know more than many people thought. The fact that he was in that Russia meeting, that famous meeting in July of 2016 with Jared Kushner and Donald Trump Jr. with a person who had dirt on Hillary Clinton with ties to Moscow. If that's not collusion with Russia, I don't know what is. But the fact is, Manafort, rather than going through another trial, is willing to talk to Mueller. One, it validates, in my view, the fact that Mueller's painstakingly slow investigation, thorough investigation into what's going on with Russia and Trump and the election of 2016, that all those people say that Mueller should hurry up already and we need to know right away, finish this up already. The fact that Manafort is willing to testify and pleaded guilty and all those things, he knows stuff. And I think that it's one more reason why the president needs to be worried.
He knows stuff. Boy, that's a line that can be applied to a lot of people right now. All right.
Yeah, yes, but he's one of those people who not only knows stuff, he's talking to the feds.
He's talking about it, right.
To quote Al Capone or somebody like that.
Someone. All right. Thank you, Ken Rudin. Good discussion to start the week, and we'll catch up to you next week and see what's evolved.
And I can't imagine what we'll be talking about next week. Every week is startling, more startling than the previous week.
He is Ken Rudin, the political junkie. Thanks again, Ken, and you're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.